Hello and welcome to our weekly internet radio program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. If you are over 40 and simply won't accept the notion that your best years are behind you, you've come to the right place. I want to assure you that with a positive outlook on life today and favorable expectations for the future, your best is yet to come. I was pushing 50 when I woke up and rediscovered a joyful and productive life. And today I wouldn't trade places with anyone I know. Each week we talk about successfully overcoming one or more of the challenges common to middle age. And later, let me remind you that our prior weekly broadcasts are available as podcasts, so you can go back and listen to them at any time. Up to now, we have gone easy on all you couch potatoes out there. Today it's your turn for a challenge. As I point out in my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, establishing and sustaining a consistently positive outlook on life requires both a physical and a mental effort. Quite honestly, it may prove extremely difficult to approach the future with renewed vitality and favorable expectations if your mind and spirit continue to reside in a soft, out-of-shape, 50-pound overweight body. Perhaps your problem is just the opposite. You are pleasantly thin, perhaps too thin, but you often look and feel tired and run down by midday, perhaps even earlier. Healthy diet and exercise will not only increase your energy, but will help you relax and will sharpen your instincts. A worthy goal is to end each day pleasantly tired, but never stressed, exhausted, or burned out mentally or physically. Our guest today estimates that 2 out of 3 Americans are exhausted, and I bet that estimate includes the young, and I would guess the estimate would be even higher if we looked only at Americans over age 45. She goes on to assure us that we don't have to be low on energy throughout the day and tossing and turning in bed overnight. And she is one of us, a bona fide baby boomer. Sid Hoffman is a health and fitness expert, speaker, seminar leader, and author of the book All Day Energy, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now. In her lifetime, Sid has created 3 successful businesses from scratch, and she's working on her second book, All Day Success. She has inspired people on 5 continents to create a lifetime of healthy and energetic living, one step at a time. And Sid doesn't just talk the talk, she also walks the walk. She climbed Mount Kilimanjaro at age 50, and is off to the Swiss Alps in September at 55. And I can share her enthusiasm for mountain climbing. I climbed Pikes Peak in Colorado at age 12 on a cog railway train. Just kidding, I do. I do love hiking, and I've scaled a few mountains in my time, but never one as high as Kilimanjaro. And I do walk, jog, and go on an exercise machine just about every day. But hello, Sid, and welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm just fine, and I bet you're energetic this morning, as always.
I am. I had a great walk with one of my neighbors this morning. It was so lovely.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. What are your 3 most important tips for having more energy at middle age or at any age?
I think the first tip that I would suggest would be to eat more live foods. We eat so many packaged foods that are all processed. All the nutrients are already taken out of them. They have a lot of chemicals. So eat foods that are fruit, vegetables, nuts, seeds, whole grains, whenever you can. Plan ahead, bring them with you, and avoid the junk food. The second thing I would suggest is to move your body. If you want to have more energy and if you want to feel good, move your body at least 10 minutes a day in a brisk walk, jump rope, a Zumba class, a fitness class of some kind, yoga, and shake it up. Don't always do the same thing each day. And probably the third tip that I would give people is to really find something joyful each day to do, and that will keep you energetic. Something that makes you happy, something that makes you smile, be around other people if that feels good. Whatever is going to bring a laugh and a smile to your face.
Yeah. That's for sure. And don't spend the day just sitting in front of TV mindlessly in the wasteland. We all know about coffee and other stimulants to wake up in the morning, but what are some unusual ways can feel more energetic throughout the day?
I think the best way you can feel more energetic throughout the day is to do mini meals, to not be so inclined to have a big breakfast, a big lunch, and a big dinner, and start your meals right when you get up. Don't be one of these people that you get up at 7 and your first meal's at 10. That's just it's slowing your metabolism way down. We really need a jolt. We've been fasting all night. We need something healthy and not a cup of coffee. If you want to have a cup of coffee, that's fine. I don't think it has any nutritional value at all, and I'd rather you have something like a bowl of oatmeal and stir in some almond butter or some fruit and some yogurt. That kind of a breakfast is much more substantial.
What about those energy drinks like Gatorade? Do you recommend those?
I don't. They're full of artificial everything. They're full of sugar, artificial colors, artificial chemicals. They bring your blood sugar way up and then way down. They also affect your sleep at night. So even if you had an energy drink at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because you felt kind of tired, it may affect your sleep that night and the following night. That's how much junk it has in it. You know, we a lot of people, you know, are restless with their sleep, and then they say, you know, how come I have so much trouble sleeping? But sometimes it's because they didn't move enough during the day or they didn't eat the right foods, and it actually affects your sleep as well.
Huh. Well, that's all be darned. In your book promo, you allude to three ways that we can zap our energy without even knowing it, and that sounds quite mysterious to me. Please enlighten us on how we zap our energy without even knowing we're doing so.
Well, one thing we do is oftentimes we hang around negative people, and the single most important decision we can make each day is our attitude. I mean, we have a choice about that, so I suggest you try to stay away from people. I mean, some people you have to interact with, but you try to stay away from people that are negative and try to be around those upbeat people that energize you. Another way I think we zap our energy is multitasking. We try to do too much at once, and we're not really multitasking. We're actually switch tasking. We're going from one thing to another. We're not saving time. We're stressing ourselves out. We're feeling like we're trying to do too much, and all that stress is not good for us, and it keeps an extra layer of fat around your midsection because that's what your body does when it's stressed. So nobody wants that. So that would be, I think, one of a second thing. And probably the third way that we zap our energy without even thinking about it is we think that we have to put so much time into a workout and so much effort into the workout that we don't do anything. We think, okay, 10 minutes isn't any good, or 15-minute walk. You know, I can't do 45 minutes, so I'll do nothing. And 7 minutes is better than nothing. 10 minutes is better than 7 minutes, and you get the idea. We just have to find these little pockets of time and put a smile on our face, put our sneakers on, or if we're not an outside kind of a person with shoes, then find a swimming pool and walk in the swimming pool. That's the best. You know, you get to move your arms and your legs through the water. And even if you just had knee surgery, hip replacement, the water is very forgiving.
Oh, yes, definitely. No, my personal experience is, surprisingly, if I'm continually under stress, I get as tired as fast as if I'm bored, because that really wears out your energy and takes it away. And also, anytime I'm self-absorbed or lack purpose, I don't pay attention or I'm not committed to others. Perhaps, just like I said, mindless TV watching, all those things make me very tired.
And isn't that funny? You would think that, you know, okay, you're sitting in front of the TV, you're relaxing, that'll energize you, or you'll feel more energy because you're not running around. But as you said, Roy, it doesn't. It makes you feel worse.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, here's a question very close to my heart, and I'm certain that of many listeners, too, and I have this issue even today. Some nights I sleep through the night like a baby just fine, but other nights I toss and turn, and my mind just won't shut down, and I have to get up and read a book. In fact, my wife sometimes suggests I should go to a neighborhood sleep clinic we have over here, but I've refuse to do that. Please give us your unique strategy for finally getting a great night's sleep.
Okay, I'll give you my some of my top pointers. We probably could do a whole show on sleep. I think the first thing is to set a time after a certain time. Like I like to go to bed at 10 o'clock. So by 8 o'clock at night, I have decided that I am not using any technology. I'm not answering any phone calls. I'm not responding to any emails. Everybody knows after 8 o'clock, it's my time to just write myself notes for the next day, take a nice shower, relax, do whatever relaxing rituals you have, and enjoy your family, and then go to sleep. And I like to be in bed by 10 o'clock. Between 10 and 2 is prime time for sleep time. So that really helps me unwind. And I write all my little notes down to myself. I decide what I'm going to do for the next day. So I'm not processing it all night. I just tell myself, you know, it'll all be there in the morning, and I'll probably wake up with an idea that's much better. The other thing I do is I make sure the room is really cool. 67 to 70 degrees is a really nice temperature for most people. If your room is too hot, you're going to be tossing and turning. You're not going to be comfortable. So either have the fan on or the air conditioner on or the windows open if you live in a place that can do that. And probably the last thing is watch what you eat. Some people have trouble sleeping because of caffeine, alcohol, spicy or sugary foods late in the day, red meat, and citrus. Those are the culprits that if you have them later in the day, they really affect you. And I know people say, you know, the alcohol, it helps me relax. It actually helps you fall asleep better, but it encourages your body to wake up in the middle of the night, which is exactly what we don't want. So be really careful.
I found personally sometimes having a beer or two late in the evening helps me sleep better, and sometimes that's just the opposite.
Right, and that's the part I don't like about the alcohol, because it's really unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, it most people, it helps them fall asleep, but I'll tell you, it's not a good solution for a long night of sleep. Invariably, it's the night that you're tossing and turning, and it's not worth it. It's not worth what it does to your blood sugar. There's lots of other great ways to relax.
No, I certainly strongly endorse that idea you're mentioning of the time out at 8 o'clock to start relaxing, because one of the things I point out in my book is we should set aside time each day to banish all worry and all concern, and that is a good time to do it. You know, if you set and say, I'll banish my worry until 23 hours a day, but I'm going to have 1 hour a day or waking hour that I'm not going to worry, and I banish that. And that would certainly be a good time, you know, well before bedtime, to think about good things that happened during the past day and think about good things that can happen tomorrow, rather than get all that out of your mind before you try to go to sleep.
Well, you have just brought up another important thing about feeling energetic. If you want to feel energetic, appreciate how wonderful your life is, and show some gratitude, help others, all of those things increase your energy.
Yes, that's for certain. Well, as we grow older and our kids mature and leave home, a lot of us plan to travel and see the world. Sometimes those plans don't come to fruition, but sometimes they do. And I know you travel extensively. Do you have any secrets for keeping healthy and energetic when you travel?
Is it okay to mention my favorite website that's not related to me?
Oh, of course.
Okay, my favorite website when I travel is Happy Cow. It's happycow.net, and it is a place where you could go. You just put in the zip code of where you're going, and it will let you know different restaurants and shopping stores, food stores, where you can purchase food in your area that is a little bit more on the healthy side. So I love that, because then I plan ahead. I say, oh, this restaurant looks good. I can check out menus so that I'm not limited to just what is in the hotel or just what is in my local block. It gives me a kind of a broader view. The other thing I do is I pack some foods with me, even when I'm traveling, even when I'm taking a carry-on suitcase, that are some staples. I might pack some homemade granola. I might pack some favorite some favorites, some staples like maybe some tuna, just something that I know is healthy so that if I'm stuck or if I'm on the airplane and I don't have any food, I make better choices because they're choices from home. If you're traveling somewhere where you can bring fresh fruit or some carry-on vegetables, that's great. And the other part about all this travel is try to travel with as few items as possible.
We
go for a 3-day trip and we take, 10 days worth of stuff, and it really weights us down, especially if we're going to a city. I go to San Francisco a lot to visit my daughter, and I have to take public transportation to get to her. So if I'm carrying around this big suitcase, that is really causing a lot of stress, wasting my energy. Travel light mentally and travel light, with physical stuff as well.
Yeah, this travel and staying healthy has been a real challenge for my wife and I because we've been on a couple cruises in the past year on those giant floating food barges that they call cruise ships. And it's very hard to keep weight down and energy up, not to mention the viruses that spread like wildfires in the crowded communal living on those cruise ships. So that's something that's really tough to plan for, I think. But of course, you don't have to eat all that food.
and they do have some beautiful, healthy offerings, and the chef will prepare something. If you see something prepared in butter and you want to, come back 15 minutes later, he will or she will have it all ready for you grilled. It's kind of like we really have to ask for what we want. When we go to a restaurant, if we see it on the menu and we love it, but we would like it without the sauce, go for it. If you don't ask, you won't know. So you can do it. You just have to keep in mind, and it's okay to give yourself a treat. It's nice to make a conscious thing and say, I've eaten very healthy this week. I've been very active. And Friday night, we're going to go out and have a meal that's maybe not on the healthiest side. But you just don't want to do that to your body every day. It's not very kind. You wouldn't be as unkind to someone else as we do, as we are to ourselves sometimes.
And these cruise ships have pools, and they also have decks that you can walk rapidly or jog around, and so that you can get exercise while you're on them too, I found.
They do, and they have wonderful classes like yoga and Pilates. If you're interested in trying a bicycle spin class, you can try anything you want. Don't
they
have to sign up for a
spa,
gym.
A lot of them. The one I was on had a big spa that you could go to. But
how wonderful.
Just speaking with you, I can tell that you're extremely energetic and full of life. Have you always had this boundless energy? Tell the listeners your secret.
I would say I always had pretty good energy, but right about age 40, I was an elementary school principal, and I watched my students run around like crazy people outside, and I said, I would like to be more energetic. So about age 40, I made an effort to be more energetic. I went to the gym. I started with water aerobics, and I really toned up my body just by doing movements in the pool. And it was wonderful. I lost weight. I firmed up. Then it gave me the confidence to try other things. And then I went on to weight machines and hiking and that kind of thing. And I it really doesn't take much time. And I was really busy. I was running an elementary school, but I still had the time. You know, you still can make the time. So I would say it's probably been the last 15 years, probably started about age 40. My daughter was about 8. She was old enough where I could, felt comfortable leaving her and going, to work out.
That's such a good example for the people that are listening in that are, say, in their 40s and want to start a new regimen of getting in better shape and having more energy. Here's another real puzzler from your book promo. Please tell us how the Internet can boost our metabolism. I noticed you mentioned that.
Well, we do a lot of things, that involve social media, like, Facebook, for example.
Yeah.
And you get all these little things from your friends that say, I got up and I had spaghetti for breakfast. Well, that's kind of, it's nice, but, it's not. But there are things on Facebook, there are messages that you could sign up for that give you a positive exercise or a positive healthy eating tip. And it's very lovely. One of the things that I do, I get videos. There's a wonderful gal in California who, makes little mini videos, and she may make a video on how to make lentil soup. And You know what? If you're interested, you watch the video. If you don't, you go on to the next message. But they're inspiring quotes or tips, and they kind of perk your day up. You don't want to get addicted. I mean, you don't want to sit on the social media for, you know, an hour looking for one tip. Some of them, you can get your tips through email, and you get a daily quote of someone that you enjoy, you know, that has, and if you don't, if you're not happy with it, you unsubscribe and you didn't lose anything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay for anything online. I would just do things that are free, and I would ask people that are in your life that look healthy, you know, do you get anything online? Do you go to any special sites? And it really is very motivating.
Yeah. I'll be darned. Well, we all know the tired old saying, you are what you eat, and the point is that many listeners to this program want to be something different, purposeful, energetic, and joyful in middle life. You say we Americans often underestimate the calories we consume each day by 25%. Can you give us any advice on cutting calories while we still enjoy our meals and getting all the nutrition we need?
Well, I think it's important to know what a portion for your size of your body looks like. So I have a lot of guidelines in my book about portion control using your hands, because I think that's important. A larger person gets to eat a little bit more than a smaller person if they want to maintain their weight.
That's
for example, if you're not sure how many ounces of nuts to take or how much cereal, use your hand. A handful of nuts means, you know, what fits in the palm of your hand, and that's a good gauge for you to use for a snack, to, you know, grab a handful of nuts. And the same thing with cereal. If you use two cupped hands together or you take two handfuls of cereal, that's a portion size. Because nowadays, some of the bowls and some of our plates, they're becoming larger and larger. And when you go to a restaurant, at one of the dinners that you may have maybe three portion sizes instead of just one. Really, especially when you go out for pasta, you know, an Italian pasta bowl, it's probably three times what a portion size is. A portion size for pasta would be one handful.
Yeah.
Like, what you could scoop into your palm of your hand. I mean, I know you're not going to pick up the pasta and put it in your hand, but you can kind of eyeball it. And when you're at home, try to use your hand to, you know, get your portions out. It really is
pick
a smart way.
Pick it up in your hand. If you don't like it, throw it at the waiter.
Yeah, really. Really. You know, it's good because, you know, we don't know what portion sizes are. You know, we don't think about it that way. They tell us for chicken, a deck of cards. Well, most people eat more chicken than a deck of cards. But if you're a little bit bigger person, then you can eat a little bit more food.
I love the way on these candy boxes they give the number of calories per portion. Then if you read in the small print, you're supposed to eat about 10 pieces or something.
Right,
people eat the whole box.
Yeah, it'll say three portions, and you're like, oh, how ridiculous, you know.
I noticed one of your tips in your book was to avoid hidden calories in your salad, and I chuckled at that because I hear people say all the time they're going to lose weight by eating salad, and then they pile on the meat, cheese, and the dressing, and the croutons, and all this other stuff.
That is so right. I mean, we pour it on. I have a friend who has a great thing for salad dressing. She always asks for the dressing on the side, and then she dips her fork into it and puts it, you know, on her serving. Just at home, you can make a salad and then toss it in a container and just put a little light dressing on it that way instead of, you know, just pouring it on the top, shaking it up, putting it in a bag or a bowl kind of works. Just be real careful. Cheese, all the bacon bits, all that adds a lot of calories.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, let's say that you're over 50 and Sid has won you over. You want to turn over a new leaf to get healthy and energetic, perhaps lose some weight, and you want to do so as soon as possible. How can a person of middle age begin a health and exercise regimen safely? And what's a good exercise for a woman or man of middle age who's just starting out, so that they don't do too much too fast?
I think you hit upon something really important, too much too fast. So start really slow. And I always try to tell people to do the 10% solution. Every 10 days, try a new habit. So if you haven't been moving, go really slowly. My best exercise to recommend is walking. It really is amazing. You want to walk for You can go anywhere between 0 and 10 minutes if you're just beginning. You know, 1-2 minutes might be a lot for you,
yeah.
But you want to perspire. You want to start slowly, but then you want to swing your arms parallel to your body, and you want to feel a little bit tired. You know, you want to be able to carry on a conversation, but you don't want it to be like you're sitting in front of a TV.
No.
So that's what I would say. Start small and start doing walking. I usually suggest every day for the walking, because then it becomes a habit.
Yeah,
start small, and then, you know, and if you have to miss a day, then at least you got 6 days in of walking during the week.
Yeah, I always feel guilty when I miss a day, which I
do. You feel guilty. You also don't feel, you notice it when you miss a day. But
yeah,
start small, I'm going to tell you, if you can only do 3 days a week, then 3 days is better than 0 days. You know what?
Well, is there a best time of day for exercise?
The best time is the time you're going to do it consistently. That's the best time. I love to tell people if they can do it in the morning. That's one big thing checked off their list, especially now that the temperatures are high. It's really nice to get it out of the way in the morning. It's great to do your physical fitness exercise with a friend. If you can get two people moving, that's wonderful. The other thing is drink a little bit more water. Try to phase out all the other drinks that we've been doing. And drink more water. If you don't like the taste of water, put a little lemon in it, cucumber or orange juice. Squeeze some fresh orange right into the water, and then eat the orange.
I like the calorie count of water, too.
Yeah, the calorie count. And also, our body is over 70% water, and we don't realize our brain is 90% water. When we're kind of foggy and we don't have that clarity, water is really what we need. And water, we often think we're hungry when really we're just thirsty. So even before our taste buds are dry, we need water. So I would say if you can stick with a little bit of movement, a little bit of water, and then start making changes in what you eat. Start eating some more foods that are more on the healthier side. More foods that are not as packaged. Or if they're packaged, they are healthy ingredients that you actually recognize the ingredients.
Yeah. Well, should you exercise when you're not feeling well, or what's your opinion on that?
The ruling on that one is if it's above the neck, go for it. If you have a runny nose and you're okay and you're feeling like, it's just a little congestion, go for it. But if it's kind of below the neck, like a chest congestion, stay home and rest.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
point.
But don't overdo
rule.
It. Trust your body. Listen to your body.
Yeah.
Don't overdo it. And if you've just had some major surgery or you've just come back from an illness, you want to check with your doctor. You want to check with your medical advisor and say, hey, what do you think the best thing is for me to do?
Well, I certainly want to recommend Sid Hoffman's book, All Day Energy, 100 Ways to Boost Your Energy Now. And unlike a lot of books, this book is filled with practical, common sense tips that can generate good health and energy, and it's something a person can apply easily. I once got a book about weight loss and health that suggested the only way I could really get the ingredient they were recommending was I'd have to go to a health spa in Germany. And I thought, what a worthless book this is. But I noticed in perusing your book that you have all these helpful hints, one hint at a time, and you can implement them one at a time or as many as you want over whatever period you want to do, and it's really helpful. Please tell listeners how they can obtain your book.
It should be in your local bookstore, but if it's not, you can ask them to order it. It is available on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. You can go to my website and order directly from the website. The website is alldayenergy.com. There is a dash.
Just www.alldayenergy.com.
Alldayenergy.com. There is a dash between the all and the day, so it's
all-dayenergy.com.
You know how those websites go.
Yeah.
Everything is a little bit different. But alldayenergy.com is a great website. It has tips, and it has different places that I'm speaking around the country. And if you're nearby, please come. I'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
I always love to talk with people about energy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Sid, for your enlightening enlightening conversation today. And as soon as I finish this broadcast, I'm going to go right out and jog 3 miles. And note, I have been jogging for years, and I'm not suggesting that you go out and do strenuous exercise that you're not ready for. As we all know, a healthy diet and exercise is only one of the steps to a joyful and bountiful life at middle age. You will need to positively recharge your mind and spirit as well. And for a comprehensive guideline for reviving all aspects of life in the middle years, including 21 self-help exercises, I highly recommend my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up. Of course I recommend it. I wrote it. To preview my book, please go to our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. And while there, you can also obtain a free gift, your very own Middle Age Renewal mini training course. Our program, Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, has been on the Internet for a few weeks now, and I'd love to have some feedback from you. Tell me what you would like and what you don't like about the program and how it can be improved. Let me know of any topics or guests you'd like me to include on future broadcasts. And even better, tell us your story. How have you confronted and overcome difficult challenges in your life at middle age? I'd like to have you as a guest on a future segment, so you can be an inspiration for us all. And if you don't want to appear live, perhaps I can tell your story. Email me at roy@middleagerenewal.com. That's all one word. Or call at 515-221-9902. I'd love to hear from you. Please tune in again next week when our fearless host, Roy Richards, that's me, will confront one of the most difficult challenges of middle age. Until we meet again, don't forget, with a positive outlook and expectations, middle age is your prime time.